suburbs, and I'm glad that I live in the suburbs, for who knows how many people are going to get killed over the weekend or shot in Chicago. That's typical for every weekend, but particularly on holiday weekends. Anyway, thanks for joining me today at republicbroadcasting.org. I invite you to visit and subscribe to spingola.com, spingolaspeaks.net, screeningsandyhook.net, and during the program, I'm multitasking here. I'm reading messages. Anyway, during the program, email questions or comments to comments@spingola.email. And I invite you to visit our lovely chat room, which is located at spingola.chatango.com. I also invite you to join me on Twitter. I don't typically engage or participate in social media. I don't do Facebook. I started a page there, but I don't participate in Facebook. But I do participate in Twitter, and I invite you to join me there at Deanna Spingola. We will take calls later on in the program at 800-313-9443. Our guest today is Lark in Texas, and he has a couple of websites. His static website is larkintexas.blogspot.com and tinyurl.com/larkintexas. And he's done so much research. It's always such a pleasure to speak with him and chat with him. Lark, welcome to the program.
Well, how do you do, girl? Nice to hear your voice.
It's nice to hear yours also. Anyway, how are you today?
Oh, not too bad. I had a chance to visit with nature outside the door. I checked on my plants, my garden. I took note of the flags flying. You know, I live in a hovel hole here in suburbia, just north of Big D in Texas. And so, yeah, it's a nice day. It's uneventful. I was greeted by the pleasant smells of people barbecuing outside on their patios, which I thought was nice. So, you know, it's like the tradition is not gone yet.
Yes, it's really interesting how people are saying, oh, we have our liberty, and isn't it wonderful, and we're celebrating our independence. And it just is ghastly to even think about people who would really believe that they're free just because they've been told so many generations that they are, when in fact we're not free at all and haven't been for a very, very long time.
Well, I think that goes back to the beginnings of this country, in truth.
Absolutely.
It extends to the War of 1812, the war between the states, the Spanish-American War, and on and on through the 20th right. century until this day. You know, Deanna, I was yesterday reminded of the three great alchemical dreams of old. You know, just three, but there were many. The first was to turn lead into gold, for which war had to be invented. Mm-hmm. And the next thing was immortality. And for that, in its first iteration, was the birth of the corporation. Mm-hmm. And now we have this transhuman agenda staring us in the face. And finally was this thing called the perpetual motion machine. And for that, we have communitarianism.
Right. And a lot of people, and you've spoken about this a lot on communitarianism. And what it is and why it exists. And it's a very deceptive term. It sounds wonderful. Gosh, who wouldn't want to be part of the community? But in fact, it's not so great. What is it?
Yeah, even Amitai Etzioni has a new book out called Reclaiming Patriotism. So you have to take these words with a grain of salt. And when you realize today that all the politicos and people on your television and words in the newspapers, you know, your local state governments, people, they're all using the same language. And it's just infuriating to me to hear it in their proclamations and public pronouncements. It doesn't matter where you turn and what you touch, what you focus on, it's been touched by this school of thought called communitarianism. Because, you know, at the end of the day, if we consider that, you know, rudimentally, that it is a synthesis of the thesis capitalism juxtaposed against its antithesis, communism, to produce the synthesis communitarianism, we can also say problem, reaction, solution. Then are they not all economic systems, all three?
Well, actually, capitalism and communism were initiated by the very same group, and it was called the European Plan early on. And they probably had to make it seem friendlier by creating communitarianism. And everybody's playing by the same playbook, as you indicated. And I keep saying this because I'm so proud of myself. I haven't turned on my TV since March 28th, and I don't miss it. I don't know how I ever had time. I never actually watched it. I just had it on for noise in the background, but I'm sure it was a distraction. And I'm sure that it's not good. It's not good for people to be addicted to something that is attempting to program them. I mean, that is what television is. It's programming. So, yeah, I'm so glad that I don't watch it anymore.
Yeah, it's been about 10 years for me.
Wow! Congratulations!
And, you know, I was one of these people that was so angry at the so-called system that after my mother was murdered in 96, I resolved to drop out. I just wasn't going to participate in their games. I wasn't going to play their game. I was going to play by their rules. And, you know, it was really kind of in keeping with the kind of personality I've had most of my life. You know, as soon as I demonstrated that I could play their game and I played their game well, I thought, okay, well, I've played this game. Can't we play a new game? And if not, why? Because I think there's other games I could be playing that might be more fruitful or beneficial than the games that you're playing. I mean, this started in the public school system.
You know, absolutely. Sure.
You know, the teacher would assign a book, and that book, maybe one or two others, was going to be the crux of what the whole course was going to be about. So I decided, well, what the hell? I'm just going to read the whole damn thing and find out what the heck the teacher is going to be talking about. And sure enough, I was bored.
Me too. I was very bored in school. And I, during my childhood, I spent a lot of time in my room reading other things besides what I gained at school. But I was very bored. I enjoyed school. I didn't start school till I was 6 and a half because my birthday didn't fall in the right calendar year, and so I didn't go to kindergarten. So it was good. It was good that I had time before I went to school to learn things. And as soon as I possibly could, I was reading and I read before I went to school.
I went to kindergarten. I was in on the outside of Tacoma, Washington. Oh, this would have been about 1959, because I'm 65, soon to be 66. But I remember my kindergarten teacher was what we used to say was a midget, a little person, a woman, very stern. She was really about our height. it, you know, as kindergartners. I remember that we lived in the country, and we lived on 7 acres near a big forest, and we had one of those half-size school bus pick us up outside of the house, just across the street. It was blacktop. And, you know, it was one of those schools where the kindergarten was not, you know, it was part of one school. You know, it was great kindergarten all the way through senior and high school.
Wow.
And I remember there was a girl named Paula with flaxen hair and eyes of blue who I was just enchanted with, because she didn't think much of me at all. And yet I wanted to kind of get her attention, but I knew I had to be very clever to do this, because this is a girl that didn't pay me any mind at all. But she taught me a couple things about handwriting. She didn't know she taught me some things about handwriting, because, you know, by and large, everything I learned about phonics and handwriting and the like, I learned from my mother. We learned at the kitchen table, because she wanted to make sure that she had her input before the teachers got a hold of us. And I remember there was a senior student riding that same school bus who gave me a Valentine's one year. It's, you know, it was a picture of a dachshund, you know, and it simply said, "Will you be my Valentine?" And so I fell in love with this senior in high school, just knowing that she was in love with me.
Mm-hmm.
That was what I remember about being in kindergarten. Later, there was a forest fire at that house, and my mother remarried, because we didn't have a father at the time. And that was in 1960. And that forest burnt down and almost came up to our house. And I remember that forest is where I used to go to get away and be alone with a book.
Oh, you're on Earth. And everybody has a rhythm that they, you know, the yin and the yang, and there's five rhythms. And I believe as you were talking, I conceived that you were an Earth and probably a metal because of your personality. You love being in the forest. You are attracted to things that grow. You're attracted to the solitude of being in a forest or in a garden. And your metal comes out in your exactness, in your perfectionism, in your detail, in your attention to detail. So I believe you're an Earth metal.
Well, you know, my mother was an amateur astrologer when I was growing up, and so I was also a Virgo.
Okay.
And Virgos are perfectionists, and oftentimes to their own detriment.
Mm-hmm.
They oftentimes get so enraptured in details that they fail to see the overarching objective or aim of something. So, yeah, I'd say that was pretty much what describes me.
Mm-hmm. And you probably have, if you have any physical illnesses, it would probably relate to your stomach, your spleen, your large intestine, or your lung. If you have things that are going on physically, those are the organs that would probably be under attack or have issues.
Well, that's probably so. I used to get what was called a stomach flu.
Oh.
From time to time when I was a child growing up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just excruciating pain, but it's caused from an irregular diet.
Uh-huh. But that's
what causes it.
But there are some, but you have a weakness in that area. Otherwise, yeah. You probably wouldn't have affected you. But this energy, I practice energy medicine, and it's different than astrology, but I'm sure that there are crossovers. So that's very interesting. But let's get back to the subject on hand. I was just listening very intently to you and figuring you out. If that were possible. If that were possible. I don't think it's entirely possible, but yes, I'm an earth and a metal too, so we're two of a kind here.
I just wish I could have met you when I was in Chicago in 1990.
Oh, that would have been lovely.
If you were there. I remember I only wanted to try a Chicago pizza, a Chicago beef, and a Chicago hot dog. That was my main reason to visit. So I didn't get to see much of outside the downtown area, wherever the train station was.
Right. Wow. Well, it's a pretty violent city. Probably wasn't as violent back in 1990. I was here then. But now, every weekend, and I think probably, as I mentioned earlier, this weekend is going to be probably much worse, because even without a holiday, there's shootings and killings, and yet Chicago has one of the strictest gun laws. You can't buy a gun or ammunition in Chicago, but if you're a crook, they're readily available. Or if you're a killer or a gang member, then you have access to all kinds of guns. But it's just the citizens who can't get a gun to protect themselves. So there's a lot of violence and murder. It's unfortunate.
I discovered only recently that there is a Plano, Illinois, just like there is a Plano,
right.
P-L-A-N-O. That's right. And so Plano, Texas has been in the news, but I had occasion to visit recently the Farnsworth House there in Plano, Illinois.
Really?
You know, that was a weekend retreat for a woman who was kind of a kidney doctor or researcher. She's the one that commissioned the house by the Bose House architect, Mies van der Rohe. And, it's publicly protected today, but, that's about 60 miles from Chicago.
Right.
Mies van der Rohe was an interesting architect because, see, I used to have a strong interest in architecture and still do, but the way I see it, as you might expect, is I think all the architects got it all wrong. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, in this area, there's Philip Johnson, who's prominently featured. That's Stink. Come here, Stink.
Chihuahua?
No, Stink is a 4-pound little dynamo. We call him Stink because he has the markings of a skunk.
Oh,
but
well,
Stink,
he sounds like a small dog.
Well, what he was responding to is... Some of the neighbors just let off some fireworks.
Oh, this is such a dreadful time for dogs. I remember when I was living in Missouri, there was a neighbor who had tied their dog up in the backyard, in a fenced yard, and the fireworks started going off. The dog just freaked out. It was terrible. He jumped over the fence and hung himself.
Oh my gosh.
It broke my heart. I love animals, and the 4th of July is terrible for all animals. It's just frightful.
Yeah, even the little one would agree with that. Even Sophie ran over to me. Now Sophie is my half lab, half German shepherd.
Oh.
She's 11 years old, and Stink is actually Banjo, but I call him Stink.
Uh-huh.
They're both cool now. The fireworks are gone. I'm sitting there reassuring them both everything is cool. But, these dogs were both gifts from a woman who lives in England now.
Wow.
Her daughter.
All righty, we're going to a 30-minute break. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead to change the bad to good, to live in harmony. It starts.
All righty. With you. Excuse me. We are back. And our guest today, and I'm very happy that he's our guest today, is Lark in Texas. We just haven't talked as much lately. I'm just really glad that that we're visiting today. Anyway, the website is tinyearl.com/larkintexas, and his static website is larkintexas.blogspot.com. Now, on your new website, there is an image of a house, and I am wondering, it's 146A. What is that building? It's quite attractive.
Well, it is, and I'm glad you like that house, but it's not my house. That house is really just a stock image that you can draw from a website called Wixsite, Wixsite. See, I don't want to pay for a website because I don't like giving money to techies. And so it was just like, you know, the old website, the static repository of research notes, the one I call Just an American, that one is the same. You know, it's for dummies. It's for people that don't want to learn how to code and program and do anything except, you know, follow prompts and, you know, do this, do that. It's a website builder or a web builder site. And so it's one of those sites that you can devote, you can have as your own if you want to buy a domain name, which, of course, I don't want to do. And that's why I've kept it deliberately simple and unadorned. But I did like that house because, you know, it reminded me, Deanna, of – a wallapini. And basically that is a trench that has some kind of a covering over it, and it's got terrace gardens on either side. But I imagine the house itself as being a container. You know, like that they put on cargo ships or on 18-wheeler trucks. So I imagine that as essentially a container that was converted to a house, and opposite the Wallapini or the garden would be another container house. And in the middle, that was actually part of the house, the garden itself. And I imagine having my own well contained right within that confine of the area between the container house, the two container houses facing each other, and the garden in between, which is called a Wallapini, Wallapini.
Right.
So that's why I chose that image, because I imagined, I've imagined oftentimes over the years, you know, if I had to build my own house again with my own hands, how would I do it?
Mm-hmm.
It's just like when I wrote my book back in 06 that I never had published. I imagined, what would it be like if I had to begin civilization anew? What would I have to have? And largely it centered around seeds, to be honest with you. Other than that, you know, sharp instruments, tools, you know, I kind of like, I like toys. I like things that express oil, that are non-electrical, food mills that are non-electrical.
Right.
And things like that, you know. Because
mm-hmm.
I, you know, this, the trappings of modern civilization for me as I get older, I realize are really, they create a lot of dependence.
You're
get
right.
used to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine how people lived, you know, on the frontier of America when they were, when they thought themselves as independent. And when they had this this spirit of wanting to begin life anew and build a family and build a new civilization that was different than what their parents and grandparents knew in Europe, for instance, you know, freed from the strife and and all that. And that's why when America was an agrarian society, say about 1900, people really were independent. They didn't need much. If they had their own food, their own source of water, and they had a place to hang their hat at night on a piece of ground that they could call their own, then they were truly independent.
Right. So many people, there's the agrarian society, which seems to be more natural. And then there's the other where... you live in a tenement, rat infested usually, and you're dependent on the corporations, because the corporations became an issue after the so-called Civil War. And there were a lot of people that were brought to America, not necessarily by choice. I'm reading this book. I've had this book on my shelf for some time, White Cargo.
Uh-huh.
And it's a very interesting book. And so many of the people that came to America did not do so willingly. Okay, we're going to a quick 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. switched a plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars, built up my immune system. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Starts with you and me. It starts with you and me. We all can be heroes if we take the lead.
Alrighty, we are back. I love that song. I'm just so grateful for the listener that provided that for me. It's the most beautiful thoughts, and I just love it. We do have a caller, so why don't we go ahead and take a caller? And anyway, our guest is Lark in Texas, and his website is tinyearl.com/larkintexas. And I believe we have Andy in Texas who has a question or a comment. Andy?
Yeah. No, hey, it's a pleasure to be here with both y'all. And Lark, where the hell have you been? I mean, I know you're making a comeback. You've been on several shows, John's, this, that, and the other, but get your radio show. Communitarianism is the backbone of how this country went down. So having said that, has anybody ever watched a video on National Geographic or any show where you see a water buffalo getting attacked by lions? Of course they got to eat, but getting attacked by lions, and all these water buffalo come up there and save them. They fight the lions off to save this water buffalo. We don't have that. Talk about herd immunity. Well, let's get some herd immunity on this freedom thing. Let's find some freedom in this. It's just amazing how many people have dropped their behind communitarianism. They've dropped their behinds behind everything, all this authority networks. We just drop our hands and nobody goes to fight. It's like that video of Floyd getting choked. Okay, fake as it might be, but nobody ran up there to save him. They just did the video of it.
Well, that's that was an interesting thing, too. I don't think you can compare that to the water buffalo and the lions. I think that they were acting in a natural way, whereas something that is provocative and designed to do something. And when you think of the players and the payers behind BLM, I think you have to look at a different picture. But you did bring something up. You brought up Lark's wonderful new program on RBN. And Lark, tell us about your program.
Well, it's every Tuesday and Thursday, 1 hour, 2 to 3 Central Time. And I believe I start my 5th episode beginning this coming Tuesday.
Which is wonderful. That is just terrific.
Well, you know what? I'm amazed, Lark. I mean, I thought you were just sitting in for these people. I didn't realize you have a radio show. Gonna tune in more now. Thank you so much, my friend.
Yeah, if you just go to republicbroadcasting.org, there's a search window at the top right-hand corner of the page. Just type in 4 letters, L-A-R-K, and hit enter. And that's where all the shows are that are archived to date, as well as some substitute guest hosting appearances and when I've been a guest on other broadcasts. But you can do the same at Deanna's website, because I think Deanna and I go back a few years.
Mm-hmm.
Or at Wooly's blog, for instance, you can find me there. But I tell people, I said, I like to say that it's easy to find me nowadays, because all you have to do is just type in Lark in Texas.
And if there you want to know.
Yeah, and if you want to go to my newest work, which I think is since about May or April, somewhere in there. Because I haven't published a whole lot in the last several years. But just type in tinyurl.com/Lark in Texas and right there. You know,
okay,
Andy, when I first got on the internet, that word communitarian only had 6 to 8 search results on YouTube. And today there's close to 400. That was in, so just so you know, actually, even as late as around 2009 and 10, there was only 6 to 8 search terms on YouTube. So, you know, more and more people are coming to grips with this reality, which can be crystallized as really just one word. But because it's multisyllabic, difficult to say, it sounds like, you know, to people that listen to RBN, for instance, is maybe rebranded communism. It sounds like fascism to people who perhaps are more of a liberal or left-leaning bent. But I assure everybody that there's enough to hate about communitarianism for everybody if they just wrap their minds around what it is. And then when you realize how it has actually taken hold of the public mind, and particularly through the media pathways, it's quite shocking.
Can you do me a favor, Lark? Can you explain? Okay, so every time I used to put fences and decks up in these new communities, and they were housing developments and whatnot and stuff. Can you give us just a little more insight as what a community is? It has the same words in it.
Well, I'll tell you something. If you do a search, communitarianism, first things first. There's actually a woman whose name remains anonymous because she asked me that I keep her name anonymous. She provides a definition for that word community. Because the truth is it has a correlation to that word environment as well as climate. See, people don't realize that we are being beguiled by language. And You know, I used to say that, for instance, when you say that you write anything, when you, what you're really saying is that you're tracing. That's one way of looking at what is to write. It means to trace. But also to read anything is actually also meaning to guess. So if you go to the Webster's, the Merriam-Webster definition for a lot of words, and then take that same word and then go to, say, the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary, you'll see very clearly that there's a whole lot of definitions for those very simple, seemingly innocuous words that you never really gave much thought to. It rather escaped your attention. And so, naturally, the way communitarianism is sold to the rubes, to the profane, the uninformed, to the great unwashed, is, I mean, you know, it's sold as a just wonderful thing. I mean, we all want to live in a nice community, and we want to be surrounded by neighbors who will be helpful to us in our time of need. And, you know, it's a warm, welcoming, kind of a cosseting word, this word community. But when you look at the context in which the word is uttered or employed by people who can be legitimately described as communitarians, then you realize that it means a whole lot more than what you think it means. And this is how this so-called mind virus, this word community, has spread. Because, see, what is a meme but a mind virus? And when it transfers from one mind, one body, one voice, one hand, successfully into the mind, body, voice, and hand of another, that meme can be said to be a successful meme. And it, when it becomes popularized, then you have an epidemic or a pandemic. And so that's what communitarianism is, because we are, in fact, adopting the language of our oppressors, and from their point of view, successfully so. And this is particularly of true amongst corporatists, careerists, credentialists, people in academia, Hollywood, Madison Avenue, people that have public office or their political appointees and the like. And this could not have been made possible except with the popularization of the personal computer in the early to the mid 90s, which is why it was determined that this worldwide agenda would not be rolled out until really they were paving the way, laying the cornerstone foundations prior to this. But the truth of the matter is when you look at a document like Our Common Future, which was the Brundtland Commission report of 1987, which presaged the Earth Summit Convention in Rio de Janeiro in 1992, the language of sustainability, well, the development or sustainability was actually codified in that document that was chaired by a woman who was a former president of Norway. She was a secretary general of the World Health Organization and a vice president of the Socialist International. But a lot of the verbiage actually came from people within the Nixon administration, like William Ruckelshaus and Russell Train. And that's why, in answer to your question, I would advise you or recommend or suggest that you simply do a search. Communitarianism, first things first, or you can read it at my new website, simply tinyurl.com/ Larkin, Texas. You can also find it at the Republic Broadcasting Network website, republicbroadcasting.org. But there it is. That's only one of the words which has infested the public mind and, in fact, turned all Americans into communitarians. You can go back to a Newsweek magazine cover when John Meacham was the editor-in-chief before it went bankrupt and it was sold to Jane Harman and her husband. Newsweek magazine still exists, but that infamous magazine cover said, in large letters, "We are all socialists now."
Wow.
And depicted was a red hand shaking hands with a blue hand. That's red state, blue state. But the truth of the matter is, we are all communitarians now. And this is what we need to wrap our minds around and do something about it.
So rhetorically speaking, I already know the answer, but rhetorically speaking, how many Americans do you believe are living under communitarianism and they have no idea they're doing it?
Everybody.
All of us. We were socially engineered, my friend. Anybody that thinks that we ever escaped from social engineers from the moment we first drew breath outside the womb is sadly mistaken.
Exactly. We have been
socially engineered our entire lives. And it started with our parents.
Right.
Does that explain? Yeah.
Go ahead. Do you have another question? Go ahead.
No. That explains why people are, why we have all these parents, I guess they call them parents, that are floating on us for no mask and stuff. Does that explain it? Is that part of communitarianism?
I'm going to tell you how you get out of the dialectic and escape from the matrix or the communitarian trap. Read the very first entry at my old blog. It's simply called larkintexas.blogspot.com, just an American. Go to the very first entry. It's called Diogenes. And read the quote on that one short page, which describes the dialectic. And the only way to get out of it. Now, I also described how to escape from the dialectic. First of all, Nikki wrote in her book, What is the Hegelian Dialectic? It was part one. Part two was the historical evolution of communitarian thinking. That was for the original publication in 2003 called the Anti-Communitarian Manifesto. Today, you can do a search on the internet, the definitive Anti-Communitarian Manifesto, and read the 2012 revised edition. But the same quote remains. What they would encourage you to do is to pick a side, any side, any kind of conflict or debate. This is what the dialectic is. And this is what has moved all of history forward. Pick a problem, any problem, and then forecast or anticipate the expected reaction to this problem. Now introduce the predetermined solution that you have in mind that the general public unwittingly is not privy to. And now you know how history unfolds before us. But I also like to compare it to something called the pivot, P-I-V-O-T. Because I studied Zen Buddhism as a boy, along with Christianity.
That fits. That really fits.
The pivot. Yes and no are running around the circumference while you stand at the pivot. Mm-hmm. This is how you... Go ahead.
Well, hey, do you have any suggestions to those of us who already understand the communitarianism? We all understand what we're under right now, but those people who still think they're free and living free and want to, do you have any kind of magic statement that we can use?
I can say very safely today at my new website, just read 9 words. The number 9 words. The first 3 words, they're generally divided in 3 sections of 3 words each. And the first is what I call the 3 C words. And I ask, Are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? And if you are one of these three C words, then probably you're all three of these three C words. And that would be compliant, complacent, and or complicit.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so good time
there
to go
you
to
have
a
it.
Break. Be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show of Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the Red Pill.
With our guest today, Lark in Texas, and you can visit his website, tinyearl.com/larkintexas, or the static website, larkintexas.blogspot.com. And he just gave us three words that are just just wonderful C words: compliant, complacent, or complicit. Amazing. And there's also a YouTube video that I will post in the chat room so that people can visit it. Not right now, but after the program. So those words are really, it's exact. It's totally exactly what you've described. Life is totally what you've just described. Amazing.
Well, you know, Confucius in Chinese history, he said that society was not built on words, but of symbols.
Right.
And the listeners may or may not recall this, but, you know, the Democratic and Republican parties in this country used to have different colors. The GOP was blue, and the Democratic Party was red.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's reversed. I think this occurred back during the Reagan-Thatcher years in the 80s. But then there used to be a star like the sheriff might wear mm-hmm. here in Texas. You know, this is the Lone Star State after all.
Right.
But now the star in the GOP logo or the symbol of the grand old party is actually an inverted star. It's the star of Baphomet.
Whoa.
It's a little interesting.
Wow. You are so metal, I can't believe it.
Also, when we think about compliant, complacent, complicit, the three C's.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, essentially, the complacent I use is actually spelled C-O-M-P-L-A-I-S-A-N-T.
Oh, I thought you just misspelled it. I thought, gee, that's not like you to do that.
Now, complacent, like we normally see the word or understand the word. It means intellectual lethargy or laziness, and it's spelled C-O-M-P-L-A-C-E-N-T. Well, I don't think people are necessarily intellectually lazy, okay? The truth is we've got words and perceptions and signs and symbols rolling about our noggins constantly. And so complacent in this sense means that you are gregarious. That means you're easy to please. You're eager to go along to get along.
Wow.
Okay, and see, these people that study us, like psychologists and behaviorists and anthropologists, they know what pushes our buttons, and they know how to affect a buffalo jump. And that's what's happened to the American people. That's what's happened to people all across the world. Is we've been buffalo jumped.
Right.
And what that means is that we are being deliberately steered,
right,
you know, toward a ravine. So as the Amerindian Plains Indians were wont to do.
Right. They would run them over the ledge so they could have some food. Wow.
Yeah, that's why I like to promote people like and I'll leave her name anonymous too, but there's a website. Just do a search, the Communitarian Trap, and look at it from a Christian perspective. And, you know, the people that have studied this phenomenon, they tend to ape each other. They pick up on each other, you know, and that's a normal thing. I like to say that people are naturally apers. We're mimickers. We're great mimickers. That's how we learn. That's how we learn by rote. You know, repeat.
Mm-hmm.
There's even a new science. It's called biomimicry today. But we're also oneers. A oneer is a unique individual, one of a kind in all of creation. There's never been another you in the past. There never will be another you in the future. And this is what I like to tell people and remind people that is their inheritance. This is something that we are a creation of the Creator.
Right.
And so, therefore, when God made us as individuals, he threw away the mold.
Yes, he did. All righty, we're at the top of the hour. We'll be right back.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.